Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simone Tarantino, managing partner at Impact Mentors, and I'm here with my business partner and co-founder, Donald Pollard. In today's podcast, we're talking with Mark Anthony Thomas, president at Pittsburgh Regional Alliance, as part of our series, Accelerating the Success of Minority-Funded Companies in the U.S. At Impact Mentors, we believe there is value in creating a meaningful dialogue around the actionable steps that our guests are working on to eradicate the systemic inequalities in our startup ecosystem, while simultaneously working on achieving their short and long-term goals. Mark has 2 decades of experience crafting and executing economic growth strategies and cross-sector collaboration for New York City, Los Angeles, and Atlanta, and now Pittsburgh. He led the city of Los Angeles' effort to make neighborhoods more livable and served as director of the Mayor's Operation Innovation Team. Before moving to Pittsburgh, he was selected by the New York City Economic Development Corporation to serve as its first senior vice president of partnership, establishing teams to foster and manage industry and international relationship and business attraction. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
You've been in several places, and the last one was New York, now Pittsburgh. How has the transition from New York to Pittsburgh been?
Well, so I will say what I like about the United States is all of our cities are so different, right? And so Pittsburgh is a lot smaller, but it's a lot more of a boutique place, meaning the technology's economy is very specific in regards to what it's strong at. Whereas New York is kind of good at a lot of things. And it's just a metropolis in a way that very few places are. And so transitioning from there to here has been pretty sweet. And it has allowed me to really delve deep into a place where I feel like I can get my hands around much easier.
That's great. Well, from one Pennsylvanian to another, I'd like to say welcome. I don't know if you know, but I'm originally from Harrisburg. So I'm happy to see you in Pittsburgh. You're doing some great work.
No, I appreciate it.
So I have a quick question. I want to jump right into, I would like to hear more about the startup ecosystem in Pittsburgh, how it's growing, and in the space around helping minority entrepreneurs and startups.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of 2 different things, right? So from a pure economic perspective, Pittsburgh has a lot of what a lot of cities want, where it has great universities, great technology, great innovation. What it historically has not had is the commercialization and the ecosystem that really transforms those ideas to great companies. And so over the last few years, there's been a lot of intentionality to change that. Obviously, with Carnegie Mellon, University of Pitt, and we have 30 plus other universities, there's kind of a lot of opportunity to really boom in a way that we've always wanted to here, but it hasn't happened. And so kind of look for a number of IPOs, a lot of just announcements of things that are expanding that really transform it into a bona fide competitive tech hub in a way that Boston or Raleigh or Austin are today. In relation to bringing more Black and Brown founders in particular into our tech scene, we actually have a number of pretty prominent players. One that comes to mind is Black Tech Nation that really cultivate diversity in our local ecosystem. And I would say, obviously, over the last year, nearly everyone from the VCs to the companies to the public sector have all made investments to further ensure that we're equitable in our tech economy.
Yeah, I can recall a few years ago doing some research around the venture space in comparison to Pittsburgh and other markets like Philadelphia, that Pittsburgh had more exits than any other city in the state. And the retention around that talent is definitely growing as well. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I actually lead through my role, our regional talent. And we're considered an export market. We have a lot of students, a lot of people who go to school here and graduate, but have historically left for other markets, with New York actually being one of those top markets. And so now we're trying to be very intentional to keep entrepreneurial talent, student talent, talent that can really help companies scale and grow from leaving, and ensuring people know about the opportunities here. But I will say you have to be very active and have initiatives and be very thoughtful in making sure that happens, or else people will just flee to the name brand markets that instantly come to mind.
So that's actually one of the biggest problem of, you know, what we call like secondary and tertiary cities, where, you know, it's the ecosystem that has a problem of retaining talent, and it's specific, you know, minority talents. So all the activities that are being, you know, that you kind of describe are meant to retain the talent. Is there anything specific for minorities, or is about retaining the global talent that you have in the city?
Well, so the student population tends to be more diverse than any city's kind of general population, right? So by default, if you capture a larger share of that, you get more people of color, more international folks. And so they're the natural audience that you're targeting when you kind of look beneath the title students. And I would say broadly for the people who are coming up, kind of if they're from Pittsburgh, historically, Pittsburgh has been a place where people outside of school fled, right? Like I saw a stat that just said like Pittsburgh diaspora, just Black people are kind of everywhere. That's why we have Steelers fans everywhere. But finally, I think you see us in other traditional industrial hubs trying to be more aggressive in making sure people stay, but also know that if they do stay, like there's a lot of opportunities for them.
Are the bigger companies that are in Pittsburgh and in the area helping you to do that, to achieve that goal? Can you tell about more about that?
Yeah, so I'm actually a part, my organization is part of this umbrella group called the Allegheny Conference. And that includes nearly all the major employers within the region, whether it's PNC, Giant Eagle, the Penguins, like you name it, they're all active. And so they support our effort to do broad economic development work, but specifically on talent attraction strategies.
That's actually encouraging because, you know, if you don't have the support of the local business ecosystem, and not in just in terms of like job growth and job creation, but also in helping, you know, educating the ecosystem to the opportunities, you know, your job becomes immediately harder.
Yeah. And I think depending on kind of the location, obviously, coming from New York, the government and the public sector played a pretty active role. And I think they're fairly unique in just kind of the outsized influence they have on the tech ecosystem. I'm talking about EDC in particular. In Pittsburgh and other markets, really, it is the private sector that has to partner closely with the public sector to kind of move a lot of the tech forward. You see that in Miami with Knight Foundation being kind of one of the father organizations of their tech scene. I'm from Atlanta, and you see there nearly all the big companies were kind of early venture investors and seeding capital there. And so across the board, businesses play such a crucial role in putting things on the right path.
So we're starting to see some expansion around big tech companies like Facebook and Google. Some recent expansion in those spaces within the Pittsburgh region. I saw on the Pittsburgh Regional Alliance website where there's some expansion around Amazon, Honeywell, Duolingo. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I would actually say we have some of literally the brightest companies have pretty significant investments here. A lot of people don't know that. And so nearly every major tech company, a lot of the traditional companies that work either in industrial sectors, have some type of R&D or manufacturing facility here. We have 100 plus robotics companies in Pittsburgh. Like, it's pretty remarkable when you really get a chance to see the ecosystem that has taken shape kind of under the radar. And then there are big areas around life sciences, energy innovation that we really want to translate more of our academic assets into commercialization. So I think we see a lot of opportunity. And they got to last, even like the space tech space. Like we have Astrobotic and we have a few others who work within that emerging market. So for people that really want to be part of a scene that's like enriched of deep technologies, like this is the place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tap Genome is tracking a bit the ecosystem in Pittsburgh. And of course, as you said, there's a lot of attention into the advanced manufacturing, you know, robotics, life science, because the ecosystem there, the business there was grew around it. Do you see also a more horizontal growth in terms of startups? So not just, you know, manufacturing and companies that are, you know, working around what's historically in the roots of the, you know, Pittsburgh area, but there are also other verticals that are growing there.
It is. And I think obviously you can build a company anywhere. What we at least try to do is make sure that the companies that are choosing Pittsburgh understand kind of what we're good at and what our weaknesses are. And I think every market has that trade-off. So for us, for technologies that want to really leverage AI or robotics or the universities or a pretty intricate ecosystem of just R&D driven innovation, we think we're a good fit for them. And so obviously now you see innovation, agriculture, all the autonomous vehicles, nearly every company that has some investment in that space is investing here. And so we have these kind of sub verticals, even within the broader verticals, that are subsets of things that really need that innovation boost to thrive. So I think it is exciting when you're here and you really see it. And obviously COVID has been maybe 75% of my time here, but I've had a chance to really understand kind of who's here and how they're advancing and then put my imprint on that.
That's great. So with the imprint of these high-tech companies and the popularity around the work they do and the people they touch, are you seeing any spurts of job growth in within the startup ecosystem? And if so, is there any particular sector that stands out more than any other?
Yeah, so I would say the one that's been the most defined as far as job growth would be the robotics industry. And so we know that's created a couple thousand jobs and just new companies and new startups. But it is really most job creation in general is driven by innovation or some type of new company creation. And Pittsburgh's not an outlier in that. And so what we're trying to make sure is, so I serve all 10 counties that make up Southwestern PA. And that's roughly 25% of the population within the state. And so I want to make sure that every area, whether it's rural or urban, sees that type of innovation investment. So it is kind of central to our strategy.
So you mentioned innovation and investment in innovation, which is, you know, the way a city and ecosystem grows and thrives and, you know, creates economic development. But it, historically, and we know, you know, averaging across the U.S. and also outside, there is kind of a systemic issue about, you know, access to resources. And we know, you know, data is the lie. We know that this access to resources is limited and is oftentimes precluded to, you know, minority founders. And I'm sure, you know, that unfortunately in Pittsburgh, it is not that different. Or, you know, if it is, you know, tell us, but if it's not, what the city, the organization and the ecosystem, you know, at large is doing to offset this problem? How can minorities get access to the same resources that non-minorities founders have?
Yeah, so I would say broadly, we do have programs like Innovation Works, which comes to mind, and all of their different initiatives. They're one of the largest VC accelerators in the country that have a pretty aggressive effort to invest in diverse founders. And they cover robotics, healthcare, all these different things. What has happened more recently has been an investment to create new funds and to ensure that executive talent across the board is being trained to support the emerging sectors here. You see that at the universities, foundations are part of it. we're also actively attracting groups like Prescolis in Europe to train more tech talent that specialize in supporting the emerging industries. And so we're really trying to shape an ecosystem that diverse founders and diverse talent feel like they can easily find kind of a pathway toward thriving here in Pittsburgh. And I think the lack of that over the last few years wasn't like a concerted effort, but it was more of the types of technology that kind of come out of Pittsburgh were really driven out of the scientific lab versus us at a place now where we need to be much more aggressive and attracting and kind of selling ourselves to diverse founders.
So there seems to be like this common thread throughout your career. You always seem to find yourself at the intersection of driving change and managing systems and dealing with some sort of like scarcity issue. When I found out that you were going to be the president of the Regional Alliance in Pittsburgh, I was excited because of knowing you or knowing a little bit about you from your work in New York. What excites you the most in this role, and knowing that you're bringing this plethora, this huge background of change with you and this desire to create change, can you talk a little bit about maybe what you have on the horizon, what you are passionate about a little bit?
Yeah, so you actually hit on a couple of things. So first, I would definitely say in my career, what has driven me in the different roles I've had changes, right? So when I think of my time in Los Angeles, I wanted to prove to myself that I could actually reform big systems. And I was new to LA, and the whole role I had was designed around this outsider coming in. And so I felt really good from a execution standpoint that I could like make stuff happen. In New York, you know, I was familiar in New York. So it was a difference because it was like returning home in some sense and being able to create partnerships that I thought would really take the city and its tech ecosystem to another level. And so now whenever I meet someone internationally and they're like, oh, New York's like the place that we all want to go, it feels weird because I know I had a hand in shaping that, right? And then obviously all the stories that come from every partnership or collaboration and business or initiative I worked on is pretty rich. Pittsburgh's different. Where I actually felt in coming into this role, I never felt smarter. And I don't say that in a cocky way. I just felt like I could bring so much context to like everything that needs to happen. And I was super excited to really just apply that to a city and a region that I thought could really use that type of leadership. And so what drives me now is really being able to put projects in gear and then see it through. And also like with the rural areas, because I haven't worked a whole lot in the rural parts of the country, really positioning them for success and to some extent being their biggest advocate when it comes to policy and the types of tools they need to thrive. And that's a part of my life that I've never been able to tap into that I'm excited about. And I think I don't like doing kind of the same thing twice. So I definitely view this as like my marquee economic development role. But as I think through kind of what would I do afterwards, it will still be in the urbanism space, the intersection of creativity and urban planning. It would just be a different, more probably creative role.
You touched on something a few minutes ago, and I'd like to pull the thread, the political thread, just a little bit. Recently, there was an article that came out in technically Pittsburgh, I believe, about Pittsburgh could potentially have its first Black mayor, Ed Gainey. And what impact do you think he may have on the ecosystem? There's a lot of Black talent leaving. Now you have this figure, you have this role model in this position that's spearheading the vision of the city. What impact do you think he'll have in helping?
Yeah, I think obviously like mayors have to manage the city, but their most influential role is being the biggest champion for it. And I think for him, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the Pittsburgh diaspora is in Atlanta, it's in Houston, it's all over the country. And I think he can really be a lifeline to say, hey, like come home or invest back home or reconnect with your home. Like, I think that is a tremendous opportunity for him. In the way that you see the Miami mayor kind of courting VCs, even Eric Garcetti, when he was first elected, he was like crucial in LA to helping spur Silicon Beach. I think Ganey's opportunity is different, where it's purely for people who felt left, they had to leave to find hope. This is his opportunity to really reintroduce them to what we can be.
That's very interesting. And we really hope that's the direction that, you know, that history will go for the sake of everybody. You touch about, you know, trying to excite the venture community to either invest in Pittsburgh or stay in Pittsburgh and involve in Pittsburgh. We know that today Pittsburgh in average invests, you know, in early stage about like 30% of the average of the, you know, the other major tech hub. And about the ecosystem is about, again, in average towards the nation is about, you know, 30 to 40% the value of the average, you know, general startup ecosystem. Working in that direction will mean engage much more with the VC community, engage much more with the angel community, creating this venture ecosystem that believes in the growth of the city and the region. Because again, and I'm touching again to the same subject from a different angle, historically, investment goes towards a particular chunk of the ecosystem and way less into the minority part. How do you think the city itself and the organization and hopefully the new mayor, you know, will help funneling the right amount of money to the broader ecosystem, including, of course, the minority startups?
Yeah, so I will say what is changing, and I feel like I heard this when I announced I was coming here in New York, is the VC community finally knows that there is good technology in Pittsburgh. And so Ernst & Young and Innovation Work published this report that showed the 300 VCs and financial firms that invest in Pittsburgh per year. Like, that's a pretty substantial number. And I think with the future IPO of Duolingo and others that are in the pipeline, people are going to see that not only are there great ideas that are from Pittsburgh, but you can build a great company here too. And to me, you know, all of our best entrepreneurs in America are diverse, right? So I think we want to make sure we have the right share of that here. And obviously, my job is to like be the biggest champion, at least from the private sector, for people to be here, but also to ensure that they're successful.
So I have a side question, because you mentioned COVID, and of course, COVID had a ginormous impact, you know, in a good way and mostly in a bad way across industries and everything. Do you think that the impact of COVID is helping because people were not able to travel, or, you know, are forced to work in close circle at home, telework, remote and stuff? Do you think that is kind of a pushing in a positive way for the ecosystem to stay and thrive in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I honestly think, like, I mean, we're basically trapped in the United States, right? So, like, in my mind, like, the innovation economy is global, just because I just was exposed to it so much in New York. And so I know I've been to more like mid-tier cities, road tripping and going to visit. And I have a better view of like Midwestern cities and like the Southern cities that I've not. And you combine that with, I think, a lot of people traveling and road tripping. And now this push to where people think they can live and work and build a career in a lot of different markets. And so I think the shift is going to be positive as far as somewhat spreading out the creativity in the country. Like, as awesome as New York is, and the Bay Area and LA are, you know, the big markets that everybody flocks to, like, some of that energy and excitement needs to be spread across the country. And so I think that's good for us from just diversifying and giving access to more people.
I want to pull another little thread. What's missing? What do you think needs to be in place if you could wave a magic wand and have something that fills a particular gap, what would that be?
Yeah, so actually, I think this is an issue here, but also in all the smaller emerging tech hubs, is even if you have great companies, like having a full-fledged ecosystem is so comprehensive. And having seen it at its fullest, where New York has 7,000 startups and like 100+ tech training organizations and over 100 different like co-working groups and so on. Like, you see all of that, and you need many versions of that in Pittsburgh and Columbus and Cleveland and all those markets to really create that same type of community. And it has to be designed and curated around inclusion. And I think that's the missing piece that I've seen. That if you go to a smaller market, you don't have the out in techs or the blacks in AIs and all of the groups that also just make your experience in the innovation economy feel like there's a path for you. Like, we have to replicate that at every market. It's almost frankly like people have never seen it, so they don't even know that it like exists.
No, what you just said, it's very interesting. Do you think, and this is maybe a slightly controversial question, but I think it's worth asking. You mentioned that there are, of course, a lot of, you know, smaller groups, you know, black in tech and so on. Do you think that there's a miscoordination and a missed opportunity for those organizations to work together and then work together with the broader startup ecosystem? Because the risk is to keep them insular and not, you know, integrate to the broader, you know, ecosystem. And so, you know, cross-pollination and cross-collaboration is always more productive than being, you know, insular, and it goes either way. What's your take on that?
Well, I think people have to see a critical mass, right? Like, this is like 2010. I helped create the Online News Association chapter in New York, right? And at the time, I was a digital media entrepreneur with others. And you had Facebook, you had Columbia, you had all these people kind of sponsoring our work, which helped us get off the ground. But there was clearly enough of a critical mass for them to set up a chapter there. Fast forward, you have groups like Black Women Talk Tech, which have 1,000 people at their conference in New York pre-COVID. Like, they have to see a market opportunity for them in these secondary cities. And they would give people who are trying to branch into tech or branch into like an ecosystem the same kind of access. Because if the option of you going to a Philadelphia or New York and being part of Black women who are part of a tech scene versus being in a market where that's not even like an issue that people think they should care about, you're going to skew toward those more inclusive markets. And so part of our strategy, at least in some of the work I do, is to invite and really elevate the market to people who then help talent feel they're connected to something bigger than themselves.
So you spoke a lot about technology and the role that tech plays in Pittsburgh and innovation, but Pittsburgh has such a rich history in the arts, huge arts community, whether it's writing, fine art, jazz. Do you see there being a connection between these worlds of the arts and technology merging?
Yeah, and I think there is a little bit of an intersection. We have a kind of an emerging esports scene. There are a lot of creative entrepreneurs who don't necessarily feel they have like hubs for them. So that's something we're working on. I think broadly, though, the creative class really has the swag that any city desires. And Pittsburgh actually has a lot of that. Like, you can spend a weekend here and just be like astonished by the amount of arts and just activism and creativity and galleries, and all of that's been like exciting. And so it was my early exposure to the city was through that part of Pittsburgh. So I kind of came in having already met, which was like a gift now. I met August Wilson when I was younger. And so I understood kind of his legacy in Pittsburgh. And so when I came here, that was the lens at which I saw the city. All the tech stuff kind of came later. And so if anything, in marketing the region, we're trying to make sure that both sides of our brains are really reflected in how we promote who the city is for, or now they've experienced time here.
Simone's giving me the cue to sort of like wrap up, but I do have one more question. What makes Pittsburgh so unique from a minority entrepreneur perspective? Why should a minority founder find Pittsburgh a place to start their company?
The highest reason they'll find customers here.
Yeah.
There's actually, we're actually a small city with big institutions. You see that in the arts with Carnegie Museum and all of that, that they offer. But then you see it with the companies that are here too. They're like the technologies that are here. They're all bigger than the city. And so as a tech entrepreneur, if you really want to service those types of industry, those types of clients, you almost get easier access because it's not as much competition where there are not 15,000 other people trying to compete with you. And so I think that is your opportunity. And it's something that we're trying to create clear pathways for people to see that they have customers and clients and prospective opportunities if they come.
That's super interesting, actually, both the use of the left and right part of the brain in terms of like in terms of ecosystem, which is brilliant. It means that Pittsburgh, it's a city that is complete, that can offer a 360 degrees state of mind, but you know, in terms of like entrepreneurial ecosystem and support, which is brilliant, which is rare in many cases. So given all we discussed today, what is your moonshot?
I don't think we really have a moonshot, to be honest. What I do have is I see 40 plus developments that I've had some chance to tour or interact with. And you obviously, and I can see 10 years later, thousands of young people who are filling these buildings in neighborhoods who actually restore Pittsburgh back to its glory, but for a future, right? And so to me, that is like the makings of a great city. And now, especially like the Black neighborhoods, they need a lot of investment, they need a lot of work. But they have such infrastructure and history that if you were to restore it, it almost could be a restoration of what was once there. And there's a sense that we need to do that now. So to me, building out the city is kind of, and the broader region that surrounds it is my top goal and something I think we're actually all committed to.
Well, it's a very, you know, interesting, and for what emerged by our conversation is a long-term achievable goals, because what we felt in this conversation is that all the players are there and are working in the same direction. It's our feeling, you know, the right one.
I would say so. Yeah, I would definitely say so. I just think it's a good moment. I think if you are in urban planning or economic development, which a lot of people are now more exposed to, I think, post-HQ2, this is like an exciting moment to do great work because you kind of can't get anything. You can get things wrong, but there have been no right answers, but you can kind of invent what modern economic.
Super. That's actually an amazing answer. Mark, thank you. Thank you again for the time today, for being a strong supporter of our mission. And we're really looking forward to the work you're doing in Pittsburgh and to, you know, as an example of, you know, the broader impact that we should all have to the ecosystem.
Cool. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time.
This podcast is sponsored by PodcastFarm.co, leader in business podcast productions.